This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
And welcome to yet another episode of Richer and the Mailman. I'm Josh Richer, and things are a little different this week. Jeff Machado, who is the mailman, unfortunately he is on some official mailman business. I guess they heard his rant about having to pick up his paycheck and tried to get him in there to help solve some of their major human resources problems. So Jeff is busy with that and making sure that he is taking care of business, the old Richer and the Mailman style. We are joined by two new mailmen. We've got PTB Godfather, Justin Rosero.
I just finished my route, so I walked in just in time.
Yeah, he's been preparing. And also PTB alum, Andy Flanagan.
Hello.
Alum, yeah. That would mean he's not involved anymore.
I'm no longer matriculating.
unless he's an active alum, I guess.
I forget that I need to choose my words sometimes.
I'm doing my postgraduate year.
Yes, exactly.
He's our RA.
He's Van Wilder. Yes. That's what it really comes down to. He's the Van Wilder of the group. Which is how I always like to think of Andy. So it's been a while since we recorded last time, and that's why I picked that song, naturally, Since You've Been Gone by Kelly Clarkson. And
I don't think that was that song.
Really?
Yeah, no, it was a different Kelly Clarkson tune.
She's
got a big catalog. That was, you know.
I thought she just had that one.
No.
No, that's the only one I ever hear drunk sorority girls sing at karaoke, so.
Okay. Yeah, no, there's other ones too.
She
did win American Idol, so this.
Well, I mean,
you don't win that without having a big backlog of songs.
That's true. That's true. Ruben Studdard is known for dominating the charts.
He didn't dominate The Biggest Loser, though. He's already been eliminated.
Oh, wait. No. You just rocked my world here. Ruben Studdard was on The Biggest Loser?
He was on The Biggest Loser.
Celebrity edition?
No, regular Biggest Loser.
What?
And he was eliminated early. Sorry for the spoiler. I didn't even warn anyone, but I don't
know. No, no. Ruben Studdard has been eliminated from The Biggest Loser.
He was eliminated, went home. They must have been pissed off, right? NBC, wouldn't you be fucking pissed? You bring this guy in, assuming he'd get somewhere into the competition, and then he goes, you know.
What a weird show, because that's not the first time they've done that, where they've had a celebrity on. And for those out there, obviously, I'm miming the quotes. A pseudo-celebrity. It's Ruben Studdard. But they had that guy on, that the one that was...
Rulon Gardner was on a couple years ago. Yeah,
that was the Olympic wrestler. Yeah, who then also was trapped in the woods.
Yes,
right.
Yeah,
like a snowmobile like incident.
Yeah, something crazy.
Andy, are you aware of this?
No, I'm not aware of this.
Yeah, this insane story where he became he got trapped in the woods for like a few days on a snowmobile, or something like that. And I guess then it like changed his life. Like he had to like lose some weight, but then he gained it back.
Yeah, well, he went on the show, and then he just like
weight related trap.
Yeah, something
really weird happened because he just like left the show. He just walked out. Like he just quit. And then he didn't come back for the reunion, and they didn't show what he was up to now. So something, he must have violated some contract or something.
He was using the supplements, wasn't he?
I don't know what happened.
Wrestlers are dirty, and I'm not talking about the professional ones. I mean, like, the amateur wrestlers. Like, they'll do anything to make weight.
Yeah, amateur wrestling's pretty, well, we witnessed it with you.
The whole competition is making weight. That's pretty much the entire thing.
You looked like a hollowed out skeleton.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I had been through like rounds of chemotherapy.
There's several things that I blame for my lack of height or any sort of like, you know, healthy meat on my body. One of them is wrestling in high school and having to lose weight at a very young age, which has been proven to stunt your growth. The other one is starting to smoke at 18 when I'm, at this point, positive that I had at least one more growth spurt in me, because I think I developed a little bit later, and I think that I could have had another growth spurt, but I'm an idiot and I got sucked into the world of smoking cigarettes
and wrestling, and it wrecked me,
and it's unfortunate because I could be like, do you understand how much strange I could have been pulling in if I was just like 3 inches taller?
It's tough.
It's a curse, man. It's a curse. The women look at you and they're like, all right, you're like my height. Yeah, so
you're going to hit that 6 foot barrier.
No, well, it's not even 6 foot. It's like 5'9" I'd be okay with. but unfortunately, it's
right. I'd say 5. You're going to be around 5'11 where you can fudge at your 6 feet.
It'd be great.
You know, unless I, that you're going to have a lot of money. I mean, those are the two.
A lot has happened. Like I said, since I've been gone on the podcast scene, lots happened in the world, in my world. Like, that's the funny thing. So, recorded the last podcast on, I believe, the 25th, to give a timeline, the 25th of October. Had a major, like, first had major things in the works as far as projects I was working on, which just didn't work out, which was fine, because it was actually driving me crazy. Like, I was starting to, like, lose it, whereas, like, that's all I was doing in my life. It was, like, just thinking of...
You're like my daughter with Elmo. Like, she wakes up and says Elmo.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she's going to bed, is the last thing she says is Elmo. And who's your best friend? Elmo. Who do you like better, mommy or daddy? Elmo.
Yes. Except mine was...
Elmo? And it's not always just saying it. It's question. Like, Elmo? Like, where is it? Elmo? Where's Elmo?
So
Elmo's not here?
What no, you're Elmo. Saying is she is a Smurf slash... Timmy from South Park, where it's just like Elmo is her word.
Elmo is her. That is it. Just Elmo.
Do you think Elmo has become like the language for everything, or do you think she's actually thinking about
no?
That
she's
red
thinking
haired...
about Elmo. Well, it's two things, because she also has a water cup that has Elmo on it. So Elmo could also mean she wants a drink. So there's two things that we have to decipher. Does she want to watch Elmo, or does she want to drink Elmo?
Does she want sustenance?
Yes.
Or does she want to have her mind numbed by a screaming, high talking little Muppet? Yeah.
So
what
you
is
were
it about Elmo that kids are obsessed with Elmo.
Well, he's awesome for one.
I guess it's the voice and the color. I don't know.
It's his voice, and he's just really happy.
Yeah, he is happy.
That's probably
like every
he has good charisma.
He's got it. He's got what it takes.
He's got it.
He's gonna make it in the world of monsters.
Yes.
He's gonna be the dominant monster out of all. So that's what I pretty much my life was thinking about. The Walking Dead.
Elmo,
American Horror Story. But that fell through, and that was fine. But the other things was we had planned on a big Halloween episode, and that didn't happen because Jeff got called away on business. And then it was just like I legitimately had – and the saddest part about it is having a podcast that week would have been the greatest thing in my life because I could have talked about all – like it was probably one of the more like eventful, insane weeks – of my life in the past year, I'd say. Like, as far as, like, one thing happening after another, be like, wow, that would be great to talk about on a podcast. And it just never happened. So, to get people caught up on what's happened in the world of Richer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we've had Halloween.
We had Halloween.
Halloween's
in the books.
Women dressed as sluts.
Yep.
Some people wore funny costumes where it looked like they were fat when they weren't, because it was a suit that they were wearing. Other people were dressed as beer cans. That happened. I went to a Halloween party that ended up becoming one of the most eventful parties I've seen in years. Like it was a rager, I'd say.
A rager.
Like, and I don't go to a lot of parties now because I kind of hate people.
So does this party make you more likely to go to another party or less likely?
I think a little, like, because of the experience itself, like it didn't actually affect me what happened at the party, but what's up with his hair?
The brain?
Yeah.
To let
people know what's going on. We've got a lot of, as always happens in the PTB main studio, there's always a lot of visual stimulation going on. And today happens to be a NFL preview and also Survivor Series 94, which is just kind of bizarre.
And we watched the preview show, so we are ready to go.
Yeah, we're ready to go on what's happening. Great teams in this one, by the way. And it's so weird because it's like it's before the takeover and all that stuff. So but either way, for the non-wrestling fans, which like myself, it's like this is pretty much where I knew what was happening here. You throw me 2 years later and I'm like,
Good until about through 95. You had a pretty good grasp.
Yeah, these guys are jacked too. I mean,
so
steroids.
Well, Vince had beaten the rap.
I'm invincible.
Back on the juice.
Hey, maybe I could fill in for you one time.
There you go.
I kind of had it there. That's a PTB joke.
Yeah, PTB joke. Vince is in a coma right now, though. He's
what?
Someone laced his coke and he's been in a coma.
I gotta keep up. So anyway, this is how things get off track. I go to this Halloween party, and I was the count from Sesame Street, except I forgot my vampire fangs. I, like, got everything else.
You should have just shaved your teeth if you were really committed.
Yeah, I know, I know. But, you know, I wasn't ready to commit. I'm not that type of actor.
You're not on the level of Jim painting an actual beard on his face to be Randy Savage?
No.
You're not there yet?
No. No, but there's a thing about that in 1 second. No, so I like, have these bushy eyebrows. I painted my face with, like, the, you know, like, the shitty ass face paint that you buy that's just, like, horrible, and it takes you 10 minutes to get off. I painted myself purple to beat the count. I did all of that. You know, you drop, like, too much money. Like, by the end of the day, like, I just spent, like, $60 on accessories for a costume, which is stupid. So, but, you know, I'm hyped. I'm like, I'm going to go to this party. I'm going to have a fun time. I'm not going to get too drunk because I'm the driver. But, you know, we had a bonfire, everything. My major concern of the entire party was game 3 of the World Series was on that night.
That's funny because that was the opposite of my main concern. That was the least concern I had.
Well, it's funny because that night actually shapes all of our lives. But so wait.
Oh, yeah, right.
That wasn't your concern in the World Series? No.
I don't really care.
Yeah, well, obviously. But that's why we need Jeff more than ever. Because you guys don't give a fuck about the World Series
or
the Patriots.
This is the best episode for us to be on because this is your one chance to recap what happened. Because by the time you record again with Jeff, it's going to be like, people don't give a shit about baseball anymore.
And also, Jeff would talk about, like, he'd go 30 minutes on the World Series, which it's a moot point.
And we're already done with it.
Yeah. We're already done. So that was my concern about the night. I was like, I'm not going to be able to get to see the World Series because the people that are at this party, they don't watch baseball. And the girl that's having it, she wants to, like, have, like, the vibe of the party where baseball is not going to fit in. And I'm like, this sucks because it's the Red Sox in World Series and it doesn't happen that often, even though it's happened a lot in the past 10 years, or at least, you know, 3 times. So I was, like, majoring. I get there, the game's on. I'm like, awesome. This is awesome. Then the place starts getting crowded, and I keep having to, like, move around a lot. And I notice that every single time I move out of the room, the Red Sox score. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well. And then, like, I'm in the room, and I mention it to someone, and they just immediately went, you need to leave now. Like, seriously, these people are like, you really need to go out, leave this room. And I'm like, oh, right? So I miss the entire rest of the game. And then I hear yelling and shouting when I'm out, because I'm outside. It was kind of a nice night. We had a fire going. That's how I knew what was happening in the game. I hear people like, yeah, clapping. I hear from outside clapping. And I'm like, oh, let me go see what happened. This must be, like, the end of the game. I go in, and everybody, and I'm like, oh, what happened? Like, it ended. They called him out. And I'm like, what the hell just happened? Now, for people that have no idea what's going on, there was, a really wacky end of a finish, the finish of this game with an obstruction call that led to the winning run being scored. The call was right. Anyone will agree. You know, it's like one of those things where it's like you hate to see a game end like that, but then you go, well, technically it's the rule, and technically they were right, so I have to accept it. However, for someone like me who's like, I legitimately had to start going on the internet now and be like, what happened? Because even, like, with the volumes off on the game, so they can't even, like, explain it. There, I just see clips, and I'm like, so Drew hit the ground, and then he, like, flailed a little bit, and now it was
confusing. The way that we made this World Series is I can't decipher any of the games from the other.
Yeah,
because I didn't care enough. Like, I know certain things.
Well, the next
happened,
game ended with a pickoff at first, which was also a wacky ending.
See, I don't think I even stayed up for that one.
That was actually, well, that was crazy because it was like you watch and you're like, really? We're gonna have two games back to back end in this most unconventional manner.
Yeah, it was weird. I just Yeah, I couldn't tell you what game was what. Like, I had no doubt the Red Sox were winning.
No.
I mean, I just had no doubt. Like, I really didn't think the Cardinals were going to have much of a chance to win. So I checked out immediately as soon as they beat Detroit. And I'm not going to get into this because we had a little argument at dinner last week about what I thought about the strength of the American League this year.
I
don't think it was overly impressive.
No, I don't think it was overly impressive either. That doesn't matter because the team that I root for won the World Series, and it's like, you never, you know, like,
yeah,
they could be the 98 Yankees, and it's like, oh, of course they were going to win, but you're still, like, you're still really psyched on them actually winning. But that doesn't matter. So that happens. I'm all disoriented now. I'm not, like, drinking really at this party. I was partaking in some other activities, you know, like...
For your glaucoma.
Yeah, for my glaucoma, of course. You know, I've got this condition. So, at some point in this party, a clown shows up on stilts. So you've got a guy walking around this tiny little house on stilts, falling over drunk, because he was already drunk when he walks in. So the party already reaches, like, this level where you're like, I'm in the zone here. this is going off. This is pretty fun. But somewhere between there and, like, when this party ends, I guess clown person's friends. Now, I got to point out to some people, this party was happening in a town called Pawtucket, which is in Rhode Island, which is, like, the shittier ghetto cousin of, like, other Rhode Island cities. Like, Providence has its, like, really bad areas. But, like, the good areas of Providence make up, they kind of balances it out. Where Pawtucket is, like, straight up... not so much ghetto, but just, like, trashy for the most part. Like, most of Pawtucket...
It only ranks above Central Falls.
Yeah, it's completely industrial. The place is just a grid of factories. And when you're driving...
That's the real problem.
Yeah.
Dangerous. It's just very run down.
It's very run down, and it's just weird. It's, like, the whole thing is neighborhoods that are around factories.
Yeah.
It's, like, so you're like, to drive on a main road in it, it's just, like... It's like seven stop signs because you're actually driving in like a grid. It's just whack. But the place is just like it's hard to describe. But like the people that live there are very think of the movie Outside Providence. If you've never seen the movie Outside Providence, which is a really funny movie set in Rhode Island, check it out because it's an accurate portrayal of what people from Pawtucket are actually like. Now, that's what I got at this party, because at some point, these girls show up, and they start arguing with the guy who was the boyfriend of the girl whose party it was. Now, what I found out later is that this guy was blowing lines all night. So, he's up, like, you know, everybody else is on a certain level party-wise, but he's, like, at a different level party-wise. And so when they start, like, beefing with this guy, he starts really beefing with him. Now, he gets into a fight with one of his friends who's on a motorcycle.
And
outside the house, but tells him to leave. So I start hearing this argument. So
this
I go to
the guy
front.
On stilts, by the way?
No. Oh, but okay. That guy was friends with these girls who showed up that were starting the beef with the party planners here. So... I'm in the backyard, and I hear arguing. I'm like, oh, let me go check it out, of course, because that'd be entertaining to see people fighting. So there's a guy in the middle of the road on a motorcycle, and he's revving his engine. And the guy that's coked up comes off of – everybody's hanging out at this party on the front steps on, like, the porch, too. It was, like, one of those parties where everyone's outside. So everybody's on the front steps. This guy's revving up his motorcycle. The coked up guy walks up to him and starts getting in his ear, yelling at him, being like, you gotta go. You need to get out of here. You need to go. And the guy's just looking at him, not saying a word, just looking at him dead in the face and just revving his engine over and over. And so I'm like, oh, wow, what's going to happen? I hope this guy, like, punches him, you know, And nothing. The guy just ended up peeling out and leaving at like 1:30 in the morning, just taking off. And I was like, ah, that was disappointing. So I go back in the backyard and I check in with someone who didn't feel like getting up and see what was happening. I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden we hear a bottle break and we hear it screaming. And I go in the front and it's these two wicked ghetto ass girls fighting, legitimately fighting with the guy who just had kicked out the guy on the motorcycle. I mean, I say, and everyone had long hair because the guy who was all coked up was like a metalhead dude and he had just a wicked long hair. So they're all pulling each other's hair at this point. And when I say a fight, I mean like they're like hitting like up against fences and just like falling on the ground and just pulling it. Then another girl gets involved, like trying to break it up. So the friend of the other ghetto girl jumps in and they're pulling each other's hair now. They break it up. And then a friend pulls up to take the two girls away, and then the fight starts all over again. It happened three times, this fight. And I was like, I've never seen this, like, ever in my lifetime. Like, a man fighting a girl.
On coke,
with the same amount of hair as each other. So they're fighting in the way that women fight.
Now, see, maybe this guy should have braided his hair like Shawn Michaels has it.
Oh, my God. I wish.
And then it wouldn't have been a problem. But that's pretty crazy. So how much of this did you Were you just at this point sticking around to see what happened, or were you like ready to go?
Now I wasn't gonna fight. Oh, you mean how was I gonna leave?
Yeah, like were you ready to leave, or you just wanted?
I was gonna
to
be
see
leaving in like
happened.
A few, like probably like 10 minutes, because it was getting really late. And like I said, I wasn't really drinking, so like I, you know, it's like I, and all after that first argument there, I was like, I think this party's going downhill fast. But I found myself getting involved. I'm like, yeah, because I'm on the other side of a fence, of course, because the yard's fenced in, so the fight had gone into like the road area. Wow. On that side of the fence. So now I'm yelling at these girls being like, you need to get out of here. Like trying to be like, you guys hit him first. Because that's what I heard, of course. I didn't see if they hit him first, but...
I'm glad you could include your opinion.
Yeah, you know, and I'm like, look at yourself.
This is what
look
I
at
think.
Yourself.
You need to check yourself.
Yeah, exactly. I was like shouting things like that. Trying to do my part. Trying to break it up in that way, you know, telling those girls exactly. But the funniest thing was the girl kept yelling, you hit a girl, yo! Now, keep in mind, this girl did hit him first. And prior to her hitting him first, she was actually in his face, like, nose to nose. She was doing that whole, like, I'm a girl that thinks I'm tough. So I think that because I'm a girl and you can't hit me, I'm just going to get directly in your face. And I'm going to invade your personal space and... think that you can't do anything about it. So
the Jersey Shore mentality.
The Jersey Shore, yeah, that's exactly it. It's the Jersey Shore mentality. These girls were like Jersey Shore girls, although I think they were lesbians, to be honest. They were like that type of like, you know, like aggro, masculine, tough, like, the, you know, like none of your typical, stereotypical telltale signs, but yeah. Like it was just like that, like they were so macho to the point where you're like, I think... You know, they might be trying to prove.
They may be taking testosterone supplements.
Yes, yes. So that happened, and I was like, wow, this would be awesome to talk about with Jeff. And then Jeff had to go away on his mailman business, of course. He was angry about the Red Sox, the loss that night, I'd say. And then everything else fell apart. So the thing that I was working on fell apart. I was supposed to go to Salem, and that ended up having to get like moved around because things happened. And I was like, all right, this is awesome. Ended up going to Salem, which I don't know for any of our viewers who have any idea. Salem, Massachusetts is where they burned a bunch of witches in the 1600s, 1700s.
1900s?
I don't know. I saw a movie there about it. The place is just like... a tourist trap for people that are trying to like spend their Halloween money.
Yeah.
So I had fun, but at the same time, I'm in Salem going, like, I don't hype this thing up, like, going to Salem. And I get there, I'm like, oh, yeah. It's just cost $8 to do anything here. Anything. Like, you want to walk into a museum that's like two rooms, that's $8.
This is like Disney World for Goths. Is that the idea?
A little bit. There's like three haunted houses that like, but they're like pop-up shops, haunted houses. There, it's like that concept where it's like a storefront and they just rent the storefront out. Like, I'd love to see Salem in like the spring because I want to see what's actually open there, because there was so much going on. They have all these candlelit tours of the area. We actually went to the House of Seven Gables, which was,
where Clark Gable lived.
Yeah, it's where Clark Gable lived, and also where he was born, and where he filmed The Sound of Music. Not The Sound of Music.
I was only kidding. Is this all real?
No. Oh. He wasn't in The Sound of Music. He was in...
No, I knew that, but I thought maybe it was really his house.
No, it's...
Anna Green Gables?
No.
Coral Gables? I'm running out of Gables.
Yeah, running out of Gables. It was actually a book by Nathaniel Hawthorne.
Okay.
And also, they moved the house that he was born in, also on the same property. They just moved it there. I don't know. It was an okay place. But again, you pay $13 to get into a historical place, and they take you around to like seven rooms. And they have a guide who's wearing a Pride and Prejudice shirt. And you're kind of wondering, like, what's the deal with this whole thing? Like, this girl, this is her job. Every day, she just goes and gives tours of a historical house that really has no significance. Like, they even says, like, yeah, they changed the house a lot since the book to make it look like the house in the book. And you're like, so I'm not even seeing, like, the actual historical house.
The basis of the...
Yeah. Yeah, it's just wacky. So then, later on that week, as I was going to get my glaucoma medicine...
yeah.
I was supposed to, you know, go meet my pharmacist at his house. And instead of, because that's how it works for glaucoma medicine. And I had some time to kill. So I'm like, I'll sit in a parking lot and just kill some time listening to some music. And by the time he called me, I go to turn my car on and the starter died. So now I'm stuck in a parking lot waiting for AAA at rush hour. Yeah, so that was great. And so not only did they do that, they sent out the truck to test if it was the battery, which for AAA is a different truck than a tow truck. So once they determined that it wasn't the battery, now I waited an hour and a half for that guy. He shows up, he determines it's not the battery. He then has to call in a tow truck that took another hour to get to me. So my phone died. The battery died on the car at that point for me actually trying to, like, do anything with it, start it or whatever. So now I ended up stuck in a parking lot for 3 hours, and I couldn't go anywhere.
Yeah, that's
That's within a – this is all within a four-day time.
That's right.
Got into a fight with a friend. That was kind of sucky. But – the silver lining out of all this, because this is when it just kind of like ended, where I went, you know what, this 4 days of like my life being having everything that seems to go wrong going wrong, that ended. I saw a woman, well, I saw a man solicit a prostitute in the parking lot that I was sitting in for 3 hours, and it was amazing because
so you saw the whole transaction then?
Well, well, pretty much. But they
were you tempted to go up and like one up them, like Price is Right?
Yes, yes. Well, it was a really delicate thing because I'm just sitting in this car, just like sitting there. I have no idea what time it is because I can't check the time, so I don't know how long I've been waiting for this tow truck. Now it's dark. I can't even read. I've like searched my car for any material that I could read. Like I'm reading like the packaging of stuff, like trying to like just like I need to do something, which it really says a lot about my brain and yeah. like what where we're at as far as like I need to constantly
be enthralled.
Well,
that's like my nightmare.
What
you just explained. I mean, I probably would have been
saying
that.
No, like I'm like
anxious just talking.
I'm like, if only I had a battery backup to my phone, then I could like be looking on the internet right now and telling people about how sucky this experience is. But I can't be. I'm just gonna have to wait till I get home. No, so this transaction was, so this parking lot's huge because it's like an old department store that's been turned into a like a pretty much a dollar store. So think about like a giant department store and the parking lot that would service that, like bigger than a Walmart sort of thing. And now they're using half of it just to sell like knickknacks and decorations. Sort of thing. So
Mad Libs books.
Yeah. So and Mad Libs books. So they at this point, this parking lot, they're only using like a quarter of it. So, but then you see me and other cars that are parked a little bit further away than you know all the rest of the cars, and you start to question why people would do that. So this guy pulls up. He parks like further away than me. He's just sitting there waiting. And I'm like, oh, look at this guy. Look at this guy. Wait, I wonder what he's doing. A woman pulls up next to him. Gets out of the car, and then gets in his back seat. Like that, she just got in the back seat. She just opened the door and got in. He gets out of the car. He gets in the back seat. And so I'm like, well, something's happening now that isn't normal because why? Nobody in their right mind would just be hanging out in this parking lot to begin with, unless they're doing something illegal. And
they're on glaucoma medication.
Which
their eyes were really bad.
Their eyes were really bad. And no, so I'm like trying not to look. Like, I'm now, like, looking behind me, trying to, like, look at, like, where the entrance is to the parking lot to, so they don't get, like, scared. Because I want them to do the thing that they're supposed to do. So I can say that I saw a hooker go down on a John in a parking lot. But she sees me, and she starts, like, you know, I see her get, like, a little, like, cautious. And so, because they probably think I'm a cop.
Right.
You know, just hanging out in the parking lot. So she, unfortunately, makes him get in the front seat. And move the car somewhere, which I tried to keep an eye of where the car went. But again, this parking lot was huge. So they moved the car, and like less than 10 minutes later, they drive back, her still in the back seat, and she gets out, gets in her car, he drives away quickly, and then she drives away quickly, and that was it. So I have no idea what happened. But at first I'm like, oh, could be a drug deal. Oh, right. Yeah, that would make sense. I'm like, no, because, see, drug dealers don't get in the back seat and then have you get in the back seat to do drug transactions.
No, I think you nailed it the first time.
Yeah, so now I'm wondering, should I just hang out in this parking lot all the time and try to, like, be, like, really
find sounds like a good PTBN undercover article you could do. What goes on in the parking lot in Warwick?
It's the worst. So, finally, my car gets fixed, and it cost a bunch of money. But the Red Sox won the World Series that night, so things worked out.
That was a turning point. And then the mailman was brought up to a farm in upstate New York.
Yeah. And, you know, he's doing good.
So, I wanted to bring something up here, and I know we're going to go off outline, but I feel like it kind of fits in with the flow of the motorcycle story.
Yeah.
Because motorcycles, in a way, really bother me. Not only, I mean, I get that they
bother everyone,
they're more
fuel
efficient, right? Yeah. The green. People who drive them seem to be a little aggressive on the road, and they also seem to be a little, ignorant to what's going on around them, but this is what really gets me with them. So at work, I work at a campus that has a lot of employees, right? So we've got three big buildings, thousands of employees.
Yeah.
So in my garage, if you get there like after 8:30, now I'm usually there at 8, but if you get there after 8:30, if you're late for whatever reason, there's like no spots. You have to like go to like the third level of the garage or the back or whatever. It fills up very quickly. So from the spring to the fall, there are a lot of motorcycles. Got people drive their motorcycle to work. And there are designated motorcycle spots in the back of the garage. So it's a parking spot split in half by a barricade. So you can fit two motorcycles. So these are spots that no one else in the world can park in. And my company's very considerate. They have green spots for the fucking electric cars and all this shit. Like, it's all very designated. You can't park in those spots. I obviously can't park in a motorcycle spot. My problem is the people who are on a motorcycle don't want to park in the back, so they take the spots up front because they're there early. So now they're taking up a full parking spot. So they're really taking fucking like two spots from me, because not only are they taking the regular spot, they're taking the spot up that I can't go park in the back because it's delineated just for a motorcycle. So now, do you believe that just because they get there early, they have the right to any spot, or should they have to park in the motorcycle spot? We have visitor spots, we have green electric spots, we have regular spots and motorcycle spots. I mean, they're screwing me out of parking, right? I mean, do you agree or no? Do you feel like it's a free-for-all?
Well, first of all, I'm against any designated spots for anyone, period. those women with parents with infant children spots, I see those and I just get, like, angry. I'm like, yes, because for all the years that we've had parking in the past, these women have been like, you know what I'm not doing? Going to the store and shopping, because I'm gonna have to walk 5 more feet.
Right.
Okay. So I'm already against that. Handicap spots, I guess they're okay, although the amount of them, obviously.
I don't think we need that many.
We don't need that many.
Especially in this state where everyone's a cheat.
Yeah.
And everyone's a crook in Rhode Island. So there's so many. There's so many. I mean, my dad carries the handicap stick around because he sometimes brings my grandmother shopping, which is fine when he has her. But I'm sure he flags it every now and then.
Downtown Providence, even worse, because there's like spots on the side of the road that are handicapped parking, and you're like, there's not this many handicapped people parallel parking in Providence right now. But
how many of them are even driving?
So already, on principle, I'm already against it. But what you're saying, they shouldn't be getting that, because they're also like, if they're parking up there and they've got this motorcycle parking, and they're taking up this full spot that you're talking about because they got there early, they're not, like, making enough room in the spot so another motorcycle can get in.
Yeah, they're in the middle of the fucking spot.
So they're not even going, okay, now this is where a couple of...
Right.
You know, no. No,
that's downright rude. You have your own fucking spot. Go to that spot. We made you these spots so you can park there and have your motorcycle be in a special compartment, not with all the other cars.
Well, I think
it drives me insane. Like, I want to kick the bike over when I have to go park.
I think that all the time. Well, I think motorcycle drivers in... I can't say generally, because that's not right to say, because there's a lot of motorcycle drivers who are considerate, I guess, but a lot of motorcycle drivers are inconsiderate assholes, and they don't care at all. Like, and you see that when you're driving, and they're like, oh, look at this guy, and he is going 90 up the highway, but yet I'm supposed to be looking out for him.
Right.
Even though he's going 30 miles over the speed limit.
Yeah.
Or we're stuck in traffic, and he's driving up the middle of two lanes and going around traffic. Oh, cool, I'm glad your thing fits, but you're a fucking asshole, and I want to open up my car and knock my door and knock you over.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think they're a little too cock of the walk for me, the bike riders. I'm not a big fan.
I don't
even be talking about bicycle riders that drive in the fucking road. Like,
well, they're supposed to, though.
I don't care. It's stupid.
Traffic says they're supposed to. I get more angry about bicycle drivers when you see people driving bikes and they don't know the rules of riding a bike and they drive, like, against traffic and shit like that. And you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? Like, you're not even following what you're supposed to. I'm supposed to be respecting you. I'm supposed to be sharing the road, but you're not even following what you're supposed to be doing.
It all comes down to this. There's just a lot of stupid people in the world.
That's really... I'm glad you said that, because that's pretty much... Because that's something I think about every day of my life. I'm become more aware of how stupid the average person is. To the point where actually that's the next thing I'm working on for the old PTB Nation blog website. There is pretty much an example of how stupid people are. How do we solve this problem?
There's a lot of stupid people.
I think that's an understatement.
I want to start a series with Jen about our time at Stop and Shop.
Well, that's where you see it. That's where you see it.
Because we have so many stories, like so many. And I want to do a thing where I go on the other podcasts of Place to Be Network and like we're on a book tour.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell like one story and then get people to read the article. That's my goal.
I like it. I like that goal. Yeah. The when you work with the public, it's awful.
Especially a supermarket, because that it's not like working at like fucking Nordstrom's or something where like only certain level of people are going to go in there. Yeah, we're talking somewhere everyone has to go get food.
Well, that's how it was when I worked at the convenience store. It's like, what people need: gas and milk and eggs and cigarettes and lottery tickets and the stuff that they use to smoke crack.
Yes.
So, though, you know, you don't have to deal with that. But no, you probably have to deal with crackheads. It's just it was harder for you to discern who was the
crackheads buy food, do they?
Well, no,
all the
but,
money go to crack.
But crackheads
they just show up at random places.
Well, they show up at random places, and they need to buy supplies for their crack. Like they use like Chore Boy, which is like SOS pads type of things.
Yeah.
And obviously they're gonna get it wherever they can get it, and it's like, well, let's walk to Stop a Shop and get our
let me ask you this now. At the convenience store, did you have like security, or no, they just told you like, don't care, right? Hand the shit over and let them go.
Yeah, well, I would always, you know, I would that well that's the funny thing about working in a convenience store is that I developed at that point like I was already like soured on most of the world at that point.
Yeah.
But that just like brought it to another level where it's like, I just fucked with these people. I felt bad, man. I like got actual pleasure out of, for instance, some kid walks in trying to buy like a blunt or something or cigarettes. I shouldn't be selling it to him because, you know, I can get a fine. But however, I know that I'm being being a dick about it, you know?
Right, yeah.
That's what I did with the crackheads. It's like they come in and be like, do you got those roses that they sell that come in the glass tubes? And it's like, oh, yeah, that awesome thing. Oh, yeah. No, sorry, we don't sell that. And I'd give them a look like, we don't sell that. You know, like they to let them know, like, I know what you're using this for, you fucking crackhead.
Yeah, yeah.
But I would see crack being sold in the parking lot. That was the funniest part. Like, you see the guy roll up, and then you see the girl whose, like, teeth are, like, gone. And then, like, she'd be all jittery all the time asking for this shit. And then you see her in the parking lot walk up to a car and lean in and then walk away. And you're like, oh, what do I do? I can't call the cops because I might get shot.
Yeah, right. Hey, who cares?
Like, I don't want to make crack dealers mad at me. Although I hadn't seen The Wire yet. So I feel like had I seen The Wire, I would have known how to handle the sitch.
Because
I'm an everyday citizen, you know?
Well, see, the decision I made early on was that if anyone ever came to me at the service desk asked for money, like, I was going to, I'll volunteer, whatever you want. Like, I don't care. I have no commitment level to Stop and Shop whatsoever.
It's not your money.
I will give you whatever you want. I am not a man. I have my bonus. Oh, yeah. I don't have a bonus. I don't give a fuck. I don't care if the store is robbed blind and I'm out of a job. Well, it didn't really matter to me at that point.
Well, I actually called, I had one night, because I used to do overnights a lot there, third shifts, because I could handle it at the time. I was like, I still have trouble sleeping now. So it's like one of those things where it's like, if I have to stay up till 7 in the morning, I'm only staying up 4 hours later than, like, a lot of times that I'm up till anyway, you know, just because I can't sleep. That's when you really see, like, the mess of the world. Like, people coming home from their night out on a Friday night, you know, and they're drunk, and they're, like, in there, like, and you're dealing with that crap. But I would see people, I saw a couple progressively go from, like, living normal lives to, like, slowly not have a car now. The guy had like a he was a piano tuner, Like, that was his, like, trade. And so he would do that for, like, stuff at PPAC. They need a piano tuner to come in for, like, you know, I think one time it was, like, Liza Minnelli was there or something like that, you know. It was, like, he would be the guy that they call in to do that. Well, I saw that go to shit. Like, all of a sudden he didn't have his piano tuning truck anymore. He was walking everywhere, riding his bike in and not because he was being green. So you see that happen. And then one night I'm there and this guy's in there and he's just acting super shady because it's like 1:30 in the morning. And I'm watching on the cameras and I'm watching on like all the mirrors and everything. And I see him take like a Slim Jim and just like it disappear into his sweatshirt pocket. You know, one of those like hooded sweatshirts that the pocket connects.
Yeah.
And I just see it disappear and I'm like, oh. And for some reason that night was the night that I was like, fuck this crackhead, I'm gonna call him out and he's stealing shit. So he comes up and he tries to buy something and I was like, you gonna pay for that Slim Jim in your pocket? A Slim Jim of all the things that I'm right. giving, I'm dicking this guy over. I don't care. Yeah. Do you know how much I stole from that place as far as product goes? Like I had like a system going on, like that I had developed where it's like, well, I know that the cameras are here, so if I go in the back to do the milk, what I need to do is I need to put all the stuff that I need from the cooler in the bottom milk crate, and then I'd bring it over to the area where there are no cameras, and that's where I would have all my Starbucks frappuccinos and my various juices or sodas or whatever the fuck I was stealing from this place. I mean, I'm talking like massive amounts of shrink,
right?
Like not the good shrink too, like shrinkage. Wait, that's not good. No. Shrinkage is never good. Yeah. Shrinkage, yeah, from Seinfeld there. Yeah, so I'm like, here I am, like, giving this guy, like, problems at 1:30 in the morning about a Slim Jim. But no, I did it. But then because this guy wouldn't admit it, now it's like I'm feeling like I have to get to, like, another point where I'm, like, getting, like no, I'm going to call the cops. I ended up calling the cops because he just took off. Because then he just left. Then he just, like, bolted. So I'm like, all right, well.
So right.
I call the cops. And he was also getting, like, not violent, but he was really getting mad and, like, you know, super pissed off because he was on crack. And looking back on it now, I go, what, why was I, it's because I hated most of the population. Yeah. That's what happened. I had, like, gotten so frustrated with everyone that, like, I was taking it out on people that really didn't.
Poor guy just needed some salt.
Just needed some salt, man. Some
cured meat. Maybe it was Randy Savage.
Maybe it was.
But see, like, when you start dealing with the public, it's like you start dealing with that crap, and it does jade you more. It does make feel like you can't relate to people, which is unfortunate.
There's a lot of characters that came in.
But on the flip side, I started working with the population that I work with now, which is, like, you know, the adults with, like, developmental disabilities, and it's like, oh, wait a second, it, like, puts you on a whole nother, like, thing, like, oh, now I can, other people really do suck because these people have actual problems, right. And they don't even act as ignorant as, like, the normal person that I had to deal with at the convenience store.
Yeah.
So, now, speaking of crack, guys,
yes.
Speaking of crack cocaine, obviously a big thing that's in the news right now is Rob Ford, the mayor of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
He's been in the news a lot in the past year, specifically since May. But for anyone that doesn't know, the story was in May that there was allegations that there was a video of him smoking crack. He said, no, that wasn't happening. That video doesn't exist. I've never seen this video. Fast forward 6 months later, and there's a video of him smoking crack, just like we thought. The timeline was amazing of this thing because it just, it's like basically him going after the media making fun of him. His driver got arrested for massive amounts of marijuana.
I missed that part.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that led to, it's the driver being arrested that led to them uncovering documents and then the files, and then the house. They searched the house of the people who were in the video with him smoking crack, and that's how they found video file of him actually doing it. So what do you guys, seen these, right?
Yeah,
I seen the video. I saw the press, I heard the press conference.
Which one?
The
Because they're all great.
I saw the Lil' Kim one where he's talking about eating the pussy.
Oh my god. Yes, that's a good one. I've got enough to eat at home.
Yeah, that was that was good.
And why was he wearing a football jersey?
He was the Argonauts were in like the playoffs or something, so he was like supporting this team. Like because
he has his name on it and everything.
Yeah, I think he was like setting up a bet with another
mayor. That's right. Because that's right, because he hit on like
for some reason the reporters were more interested in the crack store.
Go figure.
I mean, at this point, wouldn't it be great if just like let him he was mad. Just completely trolling everyone and like he's like this really high level internet artist that was just like this is like some high concept fucking troll job to fuck with the media. Like, wouldn't that be pretty amazing? I know it's not.
Well, I think a part of me thinks like
what if like fucking Deadspin was behind this and he like set this guy up and was like paying him more than the fucking, you know, his job would, and they said, hey, let's see how much we can fuck with people and how long you can last in office. Like, would that completely surprise you nowadays? Like, if this was like Sacha Baron Cohen, like it was playing Rob Ford right now, like would that completely surprise you?
If what you're asking me is if an elected official of a major North American city was
yeah, but it's Canada.
Well, that's right. True as well. It is Canada. Right. Well, the funny what got me thinking about like that. That I think is one of the biggest parts of the story, though, is that it is Canada. Like that just makes it even better because it makes it more of a joke. It's like, so if that happened here,
right?
Marion Barry gets caught smoking crack, and we have him on video and like getting actually caught doing it, and it ruined the guy's career, and then he was gone.
Reelected later.
Well, he did, but it was like a long time. Yeah, it wasn't just like he just got reelected.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. This guy is refusing to step down. He's going through the whole motions of it, and it's making it all better. It's just right. One thing after another.
Yeah.
It's like he's like his explanation for being caught with the smoking of the crack was
he was drunk.
I was drunk. I was in a drunken stupor.
Yeah.
What did you learn? What did you learn from this? I learned I should get drunk at home. Yeah. And not at the bar.
Yeah, right.
Well, a specific bar. You mentioned a specific bar, too. Like, it makes me go, I want to see this bar. I mean, I get it.
How did he get elected the first... I mean, is he, like, a really good politician? I mean,
No, he's kind of nuts. And it was supposed to... It was one of these, like...
Like Jesse Ventura exactly, winning, like, Minnesota or whatever.
You kind of, like... You act like a different kind of politician. Sometimes that really works well.
You want hope and change? Well, I'm your hope and change. I'm different from everybody. I tell it how it is. I say pussy in press conferences. Well, that's technically because they had accused him of saying that he wanted to
eat.
Right.
Yeah. But did you guys ever see the stuff prior to the crack, though? Like all the other videos of him? Okay, you could find a whole compilation of like basically his best fails ever. But the guy has fallen down during press conferences or during public appearances more than 3 or 4 times. Like,
let me ask you, when is his term officially up?
That I don't know. But they stripped him of like all of his powers as mayor. Yeah. They took away like a bulk of during that council meeting that he had where they asked him, have you bought illegal drugs during the past 2 years? And he took him 8 seconds to say yes. 8 seconds to say yes. Which I don't know is worse or better than just coming out and be like, yes. Like I can't figure out waiting, but during that part, they basically stripped him of most of his powers. So now he's just like a mayor figurehead who is now just a joke of town. But prior to that, it was just him falling down a lot. Like, he's hiking a football. He was doing a football thing. And as he hiked the football, he fell over. Or he went to go cut a ribbon for something and he fell over. He's the best thing that's happened in quite some time to at least...
I'm already tired. The only thing I'm tired of, though, is the... Oh, if only Chris Farley were alive. I mean, yes. Yeah, would have been. I'm so tired of hearing about it. Like, every radio personality, every story that picks us up keeps just saying that. And I'm like, it's one of those things where the more I hear something like that, the more annoyed I get about hearing it.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, all right, we all know. Chris Farley would have been good at playing this guy. Do we need to make it a part of it and have to talk about it all the time? I hate things that become things that everyone has to say. Like, that drives me insane.
Well, there's Bobby Moynihan, so we got him,
or
right?
You have, what's his name's brother? Chris Farley's brother.
He doesn't count for anything.
Poor guy. He was great on Curb Your Enthusiasm as the exterminator.
Yeah.
He was, actually. He was also great on Together, the MTV fake boy band. AKA the show that was ahead of its time by, like, 10 years.
But yeah, I just hate things that were, yeah, like everyone has to always say, like, Remember Jessica Simpson with the chicken of the sea? The fucking, oh, it's not chicken, it's tuna. Remember that stupid thing?
Yeah.
That was like the first thing that really set me over the edge of like, everyone's going to say the joke. Because that was a big, Jessica Simpson was so big at that time, the show. Yeah. That was like one of the big first reality shows of like at home.
Yeah.
And so everyone was talking about it. And you couldn't talk about it without bringing up the chicken of the sea thing. And I'm like, there's so much other stuff here to discuss besides the chicken of the sea. But everyone has to go to the chicken of the sea. And that started me down this trend of, I don't mind talking about things, but when everyone has to bring up the same fucking point, it drives me insane.
Well, this is kind of worse. Isn't everyone acting like it's their own original joke?
Yes,
like
the first person who thought of it. Right, exactly.
Well, that's the problem with reading every article about it. Is I like guess it, that is. It reads the same exact way.
If you're the kind of person who consumes a lot of media, you're more inclined to get annoyed at things like this. That's true.
Oh, consuming media. It's really...
And I don't... I was never a big media... Twitter is what brought it up. And then... True. Actually having good sports talk radio nowadays has drawn me in as well, because I really like Touch and Rich and other shows, and they'll mention it. And now I have Sirius, and I'm flipping through the stations. You know, they do their quick little two-second DJ bites, and that may be one of the things I talk about. So now it's starting to creep in, and then you got Facebook. And before you were able to kind of ignore it, it was mainly just conversation that would come up. But it's, yeah. Anyway, I'm tired of hearing about Chris Farley being a good...
The funniest thing about all this is I keep saying to him, or it's not funny, actually, it's very serious, but I keep saying, why would this guy keep doing this? Like, but then I remember, like, as an addict myself, or as someone who's had a problem with addiction, I'm like, he's literally not thinking right, but it's like, but it's way worse because of the position that he is in life. Like, it's not just me who, like, works this job that I go to every day, and, like, I just come home and, you know, or I used to come home and then just... you know, do whatever I did as far as, like, addiction-wise, like, whether it be, like, drinking or staring at naked women on the internet for, like, far too many hours than, like, the normal person should. Then that doesn't really affect anyone.
Yeah.
But this
no
guy...
no one's coming around asking your opinion.
No one's... And no one's, like, digging it up after that, dude. It's right. Like, you know, there's so many moments here that should have... Like, when that happened in May... Where, like, the oh, man, they might find out about that time that I drunkenly smoked crack. Like, that's when I would, like, that should be that moment that you go, all right, Rob, you need to do something different. You need to not go out to the bar and drink anymore. You need to not buy illegal drugs. You need to do, you're the mayor of Toronto. But instead, we get a gold mine that has been, as you pointed out, just... mind over it was bare.
Even on a lower level, we've had a huge bowl of Halloween candy. And all day, I'm like, today's going to be the day where I'm going to be really good. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm not going to come home. My one weakness is the time between when I walk in the door and eating dinner. Like, I'm like, because I eat lunch at like 11:30. So I'm like ravenous during like this hour period. And I'll come home and just wreck whatever's in the house.
Yeah.
And the candy thing just sets me back every day. And I'm like, so I can only imagine what this guy's going through, right? Because I can't even avoid a Reese's Pieces that's sitting in the fucking bowl.
We're talking about something different here, okay? What we're talking about is you have a bowl of leftover Halloween candy, okay, that you bought for a purpose, and that is just left over. He doesn't have a leftover bowl of crack in his house.
Well, he may.
Just sitting there.
Maybe
like,
he didn't finish it last
look
night.
At that crack.
No, but see, here's
that
the difference.
One right
no,
there.
No. Right, ready, here's the difference. So I had a big bowl of Halloween candy.
Yeah.
And a pumpkin full because we took my daughter trick-or-treating. So not only did I have my candy.
Which is funny because she's so young that she can never eat all that candy anyway.
And this is what made me feel funny doing it, because we're parading her around. And I'm thinking, how many people that answer this door thinks we're just doing it to get the candy? When in reality, she had a cute costume. We wanted to take her out. We know the neighbors.
We like to parade our children.
Right. But I'm thinking, like, these people must think I'm an asshole because I just want that candy. But anyway. Yeah. So the next day, I go to Benny's, or 2 days later, that Saturday. And at the counter, they have a bag of Reese's peanut butter cups marked down to like 70 cents or whatever. Not only do I already have a huge, like a cauldron full of candy, I went and bought more candy because that's how fucking addicted I am to the Reese's peanut butter cups. So I don't just have extra candy sitting around. I actually went out and bought even more because I couldn't get enough of the fucking candy I already had. So isn't that kind of the same thing?
A little bit. I guess it really comes down to... whole nother problem that we all face, which is saying no to the things that we love so dearly.
Yeah, it's tough.
Candy, crack,
boneheads.
Speaking of boneheads.
I mean, the weekends we're going to go to Picasso's to watch wrestling, which is like the most destructive food you can possibly eat that literally like wrecks your body. We'll go to Boneheads the night before, It's just the worst idea in the world. But that, I can't say no.
That week that I had that, like, all that crazy stuff happened, like, that was actually, like, the week where I was, like, just fuck it in general.
Yeah.
Like, I just ate. I, like, when my car, when I was stuck in that parking lot and I was like, I need to eat. Well, I see a cilantro over there. There's a burrito. But across the street is a Burger King. I'm just going to go get a Whopper Junior. I'm going to get a Whopper meal. Like, and I'm like, I literally just said, fuck it. And I just gave in to every single
Now,
with
urge. Your sister, what would she have done? Because we would have gotten 17 Facebook posts about how awful she felt after she ate it.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay. Now,
she's clearly going off the deep end now. Because they were big boneheads. Did she listen to the show?
I don't know. But, you know,
we'll find out.
We'll find out.
Right? Because she used to go to boneheads a
if
lot.
She doesn't say anything, I'm going to be insulted.
Because she doesn't. She goes to boneheads a lot, right? Or
yeah.
Her and her boyfriend. Are they swearing this up? Because it seems like they're really...
Well, they go as much as we do.
Right, and I'd say we go a lot.
Yeah.
So, it seems like they're off the deep end a little bit now, right? With the clean,
no,
healthy eating thing.
No, she eats clean every day.
Right, and now she had a Facebook status today. I don't know if you saw it. Like,
no.
She ate a cheat day.
Oh, yeah.
And now she's,
did.
like, disgusted with herself. So, she's going to this point now where it's like...
What's funny?
Way over the top. So, I'm curious. Because I don't see how I could ever possibly... give up boneheads. So I'm just curious how someone who really likes it is going to be able to do it.
I don't think she... Well, that's the key. That is the key to life, is understanding that it's okay to cheat. And it's okay to have a day where you eat the stuff that you don't want to have. Or say you like the sauce. Or say you like the crack. Well, no, not the crack. Don't smoke crack, anyone. Okay, don't... I joke about drugs all the time. We talk about, you know, the things that I do, my glaucoma medicine. But I don't actually... You know, like, that's not – I've actually reached this point where, like, I'm like, oh, I used to be addicted. Like, that. When I say I'm an addict, it's like, it's true. Like, I've had problems where it's like, oh, I just want to do this stuff all the time, constantly. But as I've gotten a little bit older, it's actually settled in where it's like, I don't want to do it constantly anymore. It's like, I just want to do it, like, in moderation. It's like, it's not even like a, oh, I've forced my – it's like, it literally became like, I just don't want to eat shitty all the time anymore because I feel horrible. I literally, because what she would say, I did see that thing this morning. I actually do feel horrible when I do it. And it's like, when I do drink a bunch, I feel horrible. If I drink a bunch of days in a row where it's not even like, I'm not drinking a ton on those days, but it's just like, I start to feel that like sluggishness, you know, set in. So it's all about moderation, except when it comes to crack. Don't do crack at all. Or heroin, or
there's
like
no level
cocaine.
Of moderation when it comes to crack.
There's no moderate amount of
crack. There's no moderate amount. You can't moderate that. But what's really, really tough for me about Facebook, and this came up this week, you know, I wanted to wrap this up, but you said this, and we got to do it now.
All right, yeah, go.
Okay, is that we've had this week where... It's just it. Like, I try not to be that guy on Facebook who comments on all the things that people are doing on Facebook with that, derisively. Is that a word? Derisively?
Yeah, derisively.
Okay. I try not to do that, although I think it, because I hate people and I hate the general population of, like, the things that they find to be important. I'm always like, nope, that is not important at all. You guys are completely wrong. But this week was that tipping point because it was, like, a series of... the series of the chain letter things that we've talked about on this show before just kind of happened all in one week. It was the numbers thing where people are like, give me a number and I'm going to tell you all these things that you don't know about me. It's like, I didn't care about those things. I didn't ask, okay? And it's nice that you're doing this, I guess, because some of the people are going to be like, I didn't know that. That's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
But then the rest of us are having to sift through, like, one after another of all these people having to do this. And what was the other thing? The bit strips.
Bit strips are out of control.
They're out of control. And like,
I don't mind if it's like a funny story that like makes me giggle. I'm kind of okay with it. But the ones that are like, you know,
no,
Francis is hectic to get to work. And it's just a one person running to work. Like,
yes.
If it's something like
people that don't get the concept of you can be hilarious with
right,
this.
Like something like Jason Greenhouse did a couple with Scott, like Joel H. is really in bed funny, and Scott's giving him dinner. Like, all right, that's a joke, and that's funny. But just, like, saying what you're like, hey, Andy's taking a big shit right now, and he's happy about it. Like,
well, I saw one with this girl who's always accurate. Upset. Yeah, that is accurate. That should
especially
be every,
after Picasso.
Yes, every bit strip should be people's bowel movements. No, I saw this one girl who's always writing like really depressing stuff, like, you know, that like cry for help on Facebook sort of thing where it's like, I hate like my life. And it's just like, you know.
Don't ever mix business with pleasure. Yeah, that's the newest platitude we learned. That's the newest platitude that we've learned.
So this girl is always doing this. And then she makes a bit strip that's like, her name is beside herself. And it's just a picture of her on, like, with nothing around her in the bit strip. Like, just, like, sullen. And I'm like, this isn't even funny. And then the other one was like, she's gonna watch whatever she wants on TV tonight. And it was a picture of a person in front of a TV. And I'm like, you should watch whatever you want on TV any night.
I will tell you the worst, all right? It's even worse than the bit strips and the numbers. The epiphanies, people.
Well, I do this. I try to do this. I try to leave this for, like, New Year's. That's, like, the epiphany. Like, but anyway.
On Facebook, though. Like,
yeah, no, I mean, on Facebook.
One day you're, like, the worst day in the world. And then it's, like, the next day, like, hey, I woke up today and I realized something. Things are going to be real different now. And then and then it goes in this pattern. And every week is a new epiphany. Like, you're going to let us know you've completely had this awakening.
Well, you're describing my sister is what you're doing, unfortunately.
I didn't say that.
I know, but... That, but I, like, I could say that because she's my sibling, and I love her, and despite the flaws of how she treats Facebook. But it's that sort of thing. It's like, but it's the epiphany. I'm gonna eat well. I'm changing my life.
Yeah.
This is how it's going to be. And it's like, I feel bad saying it because I see it and I go, well, who the fuck am I?
Right.
You know, like, why is it that my use of Facebook is better than these people? Right. People are commenting on their stuff and having these conversations with them that seem like into it.
But that's what pisses me off even more. Like, and
people who feed into
people it. People encourage it?
Well, that'll, like, they'll comment and like everything. Like, some things don't, you have to earn my like. It needs to be earned.
Yeah.
And I don't like the people just like, oh, that's great. You know, like,
is there anything I can do?
Right, yeah. How can I help? What's wrong? That's the worst, like, worst day ever. What's wrong?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Stop asking. Because
so the person who said it just got what they wanted. No, the person got what they wanted. They want people to go, what's wrong? Tell me about it.
I know. That's the whole thing. Just say what the problem is then. Don't do the tease.
Well, the reason we got on this is because I see now, like, multiple people on my thing are all involved in doing kickboxing and Muay Thai as their exercise. But they're also, because whoever gets into this thing... Also, like, they get obsessed with it, and they also get obsessed with the culture of it, which is like eating clean.
Yeah.
So now I see multiple people repeating to each other about how they're eating clean tonight, or how they're so happy, and I just want to be like, guys, people do this. Like, I know we live in a society where all the shitty foods in the world are available to us at all times. Like, Louis C.K. had the great bit that everything is awesome.
Yeah.
Like, in this world that we live in now, everything is awesome. It's the best. You know,
it's
like
the best things I've ever been.
It's the best thing that's ever existed.
Boneheads really is. I want to make that clear.
And it's not like shitty. Like, we're not saying Boneheads is like, oh my god, you eat this and you feel hot. No, like Boneheads is like quality food.
Yeah.
It's just but that
it's fried.
You
and
shouldn't
I didn't
eat
it.
This
yeah.
food on a
right.
daily
Burgers,
basis.
Wings, and notch. I mean,
and I understand like. We live in this time, and making the right decision is good because there is a lot of – we've been evidenced by a lot of people, mostly in the South. I had to get a dig in the South
right.
at some point in this podcast. Not really the South, but we have this, you know, growing –
Specifically Georgia.
Where we have a problem with people being so massively obese that they're like half – that they can't walk. You know, like that we go to Walmart or you go to a store and they're on carts because they can't walk.
Yeah.
You know, like – so, yes, making that decision is a brave thing, but we don't need to hear about the fact that you made this decision
I think they put it in writing, too, because it...
To help them?
Yeah, then they feel like, oh, now I have to do it, and then they don't. But
then they don't, because you see them a year later, and it's like, oh, you're still doing kickboxing?
The worst thing you can do is radically make any change, because you're never going to stick with it.
Yeah.
Anything you change needs to be gradual.
Yeah, no,
and
I agree.
It's really hard to just say, all right, I'm going to never eat anything ever again. It's tough. It's tough to do. It's like saying, you know, you're going to stop cutting people's heads off.
Now,
you're going to wean off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
You cut it down to 1 a week.
Is that a segue? Does that work?
Well, no, but then I thought of something you said, which was funny. Which was when I posted about how stupid it was with all these people doing this stuff, I got the comment from someone else about like how annoying it is. And that's true. It is annoying when people make comments about how annoyed they are by people's stuff. However, at some point, someone's got to say it. Like, that's the thing. It's...
The number thing is a little bit out of control.
Now, your segue was...
Hold on. Because I love how you don't only do the number thing, you have to qualify that. I wasn't going to do it.
Yes.
But I guess I have to now, right?
Like gave me a number.
Right. I didn't think it was a cool idea, but I'll do it anyway. I haven't seen one person do it without qualifying it.
You know what we didn't even bring up? We didn't even bring up the giraffes. We didn't even bring up the goddamn giraffes.
I tried
giraffes.
To ignore that because I didn't want to know what it was about. And I still don't want to know. Don't tell me.
I looked it up, but I won't tell you. But it had to do with the riddle that people answered. But then people started arguing about what the actual answer to the riddle was. And then it was, ugh.
By the way, have you noticed a lot of dogs dying on Facebook lately? I've seen at least 4 or 5 people that I know have had said goodbye to the dog on Facebook lately.
No, I haven't.
Like, I feel like the dog apocalypse may be coming or something. Like, it's really weird. It was like five straight days of, like, someone's dog passing away.
First, the 5 days of dogs dying off.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Followed by
the turkeys.
Because
then you shared some status of someone's dog. It was like a...
Yes.
Something. And I'm like, why are all these... And I meant to bring it up. Like, why are all these dogs dying? It's something... Something's going on.
Something's affecting.
Is it just like the baby boom
population
of dogs is like that is getting to that age now? Like, oh, there's a lot of dogs born.
A lot of dogs.
Ago.
Too,
yeah. People don't say that. Don't say 7 years ago. Because my dog's 7. I said my dog's 7 years old. That's making me sad.
I'm sorry, but I think Andy has a good point. You're right. Probably a lot of people got dogs around the time they moved out, and people that are my age and they're.
Plus, dogs were really big.
Axel is going to live for a long time.
Yeah, well,
He
is a small dog, like a really small dog, and they have a tendency to live time, like a...
They don't have the enlarged hearts that...
Yeah, I probably got like at least another 5, like realistically 4 to 5, I'm telling myself. But speaking of dying...
Right.
We were dying when we watched ourselves recording something that we did when we were much younger. So what people might not realize about me and Justin, or they probably realize if they've listened to his podcast at all, but if you listen to ours, you might not have realized that we've been friends for a while. Andy too. Andy goes back to high school. We weren't that much longer, junior high. But we started, at some point, we got the bug to record ourselves on video.
Well, it goes back,
camera.
You know, it's funny, because I'm like the godfather of Place to Be Nation and Molly's video.
Yeah.
But then there's, like, the founder. Like, I'm you know, Matt Rosero is the, he's like the overlord of Molly's.
He's like the Vince Sr.
Yeah, because without him, you know, he put it there. And without him, I don't think we would have taken the steps, because we wouldn't have known the technology. We wouldn't have gone to, like, he really,
yeah.
he was like the creator.
You Matt know. Rosero, he was the we needed him.
He was the muse of it
he
all.
He was. Well, plus...
And the teacher.
Plus a lot of what you guys were doing as far as... Because, okay, when you start recording things, what it really comes... The thing that makes people start recording themselves or videotaping themselves or even doing
vanity.
What we're doing now... vanity is a big part of it. But it's also imagination and fantasy.
Yeah.
Obviously. You know, so you have that type of... mentality where you're like you do want to act things out. You're an actor.
And then though, when you factor in how anal retentive, like that we kept everything.
Yeah.
We didn't want to lose. Like, there's a couple things we've lost.
Yeah.
And it like drives us
it
insane
drive
to this
us
day.
Crazy.
So go ahead.
So you start doing that out of based on the imagination thing. So it's natural that you're gonna end up taping it at some point. Like
right.
that's the natural progression.
Especially at that time.
Yeah.
Mid-90s, video cameras were really
becoming there was the boom.
More easily accessible.
Yes.
Or early 90s.
America's funniest home videos.
America.
Yeah. It was.
Bob Saget was proving that he was a double threat at least.
It was becoming big. I mean, you see it now with the Goldbergs on ABC, right?
I was just going to mention that.
Well, I haven't seen that, but mentioned that.
We're not the only ones who held on to those weird videos.
Right. And that show is amazing because it's so much, it really reminds me of us a lot growing up.
Well, as I've told you too, and neither one of you have listened, even the show, the show Home Movies, that from the people that did Dr. Katz, they had 4 seasons of a cartoon that was very similar, but it was similar in style and also in dialogue, very dry type of, but it was all about 3 kids who used to film movies by themselves. They just kept doing it, and it was that. But it was their experiences too of like, you know, at one point some of them argued where they kind of chose sides, right. where you know, which we saw. So we've done that a lot, and we have quite a bit of footage of us being very stupid and doing some stuff quite an that elite could be embarrassing.
Club. I mean, how many people do you think have seen all of it?
Very few.
Not even like 10, right? Probably.
Yeah, it's got to be less than 10.
It's got to be definitely less than 10. Well, right? us three.
Yeah, us three.
Scott, Matt,
Jim.
Jim, Matt. Well, Matt hasn't seen all of it.
No.
But he would. I mean, I'll include him only because...
No, I'm saying people have seen the full catalog.
Yeah, probably like 6, 7.
Adam, maybe my wife. Adam? Oh, Adam's seen everything.
Yeah.
And maybe my wife has probably seen more than most. And Jenna.
More than Jenna.
And Jenna.
Jenna's seen a lot.
Jenna's seen a lot.
Against their will.
Yeah. So it's like you got 8 or... Yeah, less than 10.
Right around 10.
So what we're going to do here is we're going to just describe to you...
But I was going to say, though, then there's a wide swath that have seen...
Yeah,
sections.
Because
like,
we did a bunch for school.
Right, but yeah. Not people who had to see it.
Yeah.
People that have come over, we showed it to. You have like Jeff, you know, has seen a bunch of it.
Yes.
Brad and Chad have now seen a bunch of it. So people like that have come into our life for a brief period.
The people that you made just watch it.
Right, because you get so excited.
You used to make people tape. When your parents would put you on those experiences where you would be like having to hang out with like their parents' friends.
Yeah, right. But that leads to some of the best stuff.
Yeah.
Like the refrigerator slam.
Yeah.
Simon the Sorcerer. So there's a lot of stuff that has come.
Well, Simon the Sorcerer wasn't the best thing.
Oh, Rich has seen most of it.
Rich, that's right.
Rich bothers me because he always acts like he didn't want to do any of this. But I'm like, if you didn't want to do it, you wouldn't have done it. I'm like, come on, you know, we didn't have a gunpoint.
Yeah.
It's part of his heritage. He needs to embrace it.
So, there's an elite club of people that have actually seen it. And none of it's good in the way of it was actually good. But,
how dare you?
Well, no, that's not true. There is some of it that
I will
maintain was actually hilarious. And if you were to show it to anyone, and the only problem is you'd have to give them, for the really hilarious stuff, some of the backstory.
When you factor in, though, everything that goes with it, like we had one shitty camera. We had a VCR or the wire. We had our double tape deck radio. And very limited space, no budget, and limited costume. I think the world we created is fairly impressive.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's really not that bad.
It also lives mostly on in our heads.
Right, yeah.
Some of it, it's like when we change scenes, I'm like, to me it looks like a different scene. But someone who was just watching this be like, so we're still in the basement, I see.
Wait, so the living room is now a different house?
The living room is a different, it's outside area now? I don't get what, why didn't you just go outside? Yeah. But some of it was filmed outside. What we want to do here is describe just something we've taped.
Well, we should explain the name.
The name, the Molosseum Corner.
Right.
Because Colosseum Video was a big part of our lives.
Right, they're a DWF home video
distributor.
So when Matt, the founder, basically, we were filming something. It was a fake RAW in the basement. And he said, we're behind the scenes here on Molosseum Video because we're mocking Colosseum. So Molosseum became the catch-all for anything we ever record now follows under the auspices of Molosseum Video.
Yes.
Was it supposed to be Mausoleum?
No, it was always Molosseum.
Yeah,
it was supposed to be off Colosseum. It was Molosseum.
He just
threw an M for no particular reason.
For no reason.
Just to change the name. So he could have done anything in that time. That would have Lolosseum, Colosseum, Bolosseum.
Yeah, right.
He chose Molosseum, and that became the catch-all for all.
Because his name was Matt.
Yeah.
That's the story.
That's probably what it is. That or was on The Simpsons at some point.
Obsessed with them. Yeah, The Simpsons have been big. So the one that we're going to talk about today was actually something we taped for school, which was, I used to just tape everything with you, basically.
Right.
Like, anything you wanted to tape, I was just there. I lived across the street.
Yeah.
It was no big deal for me to come over. I enjoyed being goofy on camera. Even though I didn't, it's like I look back and I'm like, it's like I didn't get the concept of like being taped. Like I just constantly, like it's like I looked at it like the camera was the audience as opposed to like it's supposed to be like I'm not looking at the audience sort of thing. Like I never got through that whole time. Yeah. Maybe by the end I finally got it, but.
Yeah, you were just there.
Yeah, so, but I wanted to be in everything and, you know, so you guys had to do something for history class, I believe. And you did.
And this was freshman year, so this is pretty ballsy. So right out of the gate, I hated getting up and talking in class. So right out of the gate, I tried to make my thing. I used to ask if I could do a video.
Well, we had already recorded a video of me talking about Star Trek.
Right, that was the original thing. Yes, that was the original.
That was like really.
But wasn't that a video project?
Yeah.
Was that a video project?
Yes.
Yes.
We That's what we did in that class.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Videos. So, but this one was not meant to be a video.
No.
This was, we went on our own and did a video.
Yes.
Instead of doing something else, can we do a video?
Yes. And that became a running theme. Yeah. And they liked it, I think, because it was creative and they were good. They weren't just like half-assed.
And it worked out for us because we got to record.
Right. What we love to do, and I hated getting up and speaking. So it hit all the marks for me. And it was my way of breaking out a little bit. So this one was, we're all supposed to look at something in medieval, this was like England, right? It was like history, but it was...
Well, it was, would that be Victorian?
Yeah, Victorian time.
Would that be the Tudors and all that stuff?
That's right, Victorian. So our topic was Mary, Queen of Scots.
Yeah, well, our Victorian's in the 1800s, right?
It doesn't
matter, actually.
Yeah, so... Right.
But anyway,
yeah.
It was supposed to be Mary, Queen of Scots.
Yes.
Right? So... We did a video. It was me and Paul Tencher were the two people in the class that were supposed to make the video. So we did the original one, had Rich in it, and I was Mary, Queen of Scots. I played the character. And that one sucked. So then we redid it. We brought you in because you were the ace actor. So we were able to bring you in.
Yeah.
And so that's where the story begins.
So what's funny is I haven't seen this in so long. So now I was not in this class at all.
No, you were not in the class.
So here I am. I didn't even have that teacher.
No, it was brother...
Brother O'Donnell, right?
No, it was not Brother O'Donnell. Brother Kiernan? Was that his name? Kiernan? Brother Kiernan?
Kiernan,
he was the one that like disappeared, and everyone thought he was in like witness protection or something, okay. And then he came back.
So, how does it begin? We start off with like Mary Stewart's...
She's playing football as a high school person. And we have the coach theme playing, and you catch a long touchdown
pass.
It starts with Paul Tencher as Robin Leach.
Yes.
And he's doing Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Nobody knows who that is anymore. Right?
No, nobody knows who Robin Leach is.
I think he may have actually been Bobbin Leach because we were trying not to make
it. The references are so old that they've completely outdated.
Right, so we're playing football. That's next. Then we show her getting married. That's the next thing.
So none of this is factually accurate, which is
no.
Funny.
But we always...
I think she did get married. I think that's accurate. Right.
Well, but we always disclaim this, that this is based on fact, but is somewhat fictional. Yeah. That we put that before every video.
Now, this is for a project...
For history class.
For history class.
Where accuracy is to be desired.
Yes.
That's kind of the point, is to be accurate.
You are graded on accuracy.
Okay. Yes, yes. So...
It's a pretty short video, too.
It's not that long. So she ends up getting in prison because she's crazy. Right,
and also she didn't have babies that she was supposed to. Was she supposed to?
Yeah, well, we talking about the video. We talking about real
life.
We're talking about real life, but and the video, because I think we need to separate because we can't say this happened in the because we didn't really do what was supposed to be done.
Right. Yeah.
To which I didn't care because I wasn't getting a grade, to be honest.
So we did. So she goes in front of the jury. So we have her with the lawyer. That's one scene. And she's found guilty. She doesn't know her real name or whatever, right? That's the whole precipice of it. So she goes to jail. She escapes from jail. Gets captured, right? By my sister wearing a hood over her. She gets captured. So then she goes... she gets captured. She gets brought again. I forget the whole... We have two scenes of her walking in. One is the court. So maybe the court comes after she gets captured.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So there's the trial, then the execution.
We need to stop to say that we are big fans of having people walking.
Yes. Oh, walking. Yes.
Walking.
It's a great shot.
It's a great shot. We just had people walking while playing music.
If you watch a lot of our videos,
just walking and playing music.
If you watch a lot of our videos, there's a lot of running themes, like training montages, walking with music.
We kill
Sports Center.
Going back to home movies for just a second, you remember that episode where everything ends the same way?
Yes.
It's exactly like that.
Oh, yeah. That was. Time to pay the price.
Yeah,
okay. That's how they ended every single episode of the show.
Okay, so back to Mary.
Okay.
So she gets out of jail anyway. So she ends up being led to her execution. So for the execution scene, we have her bent under a desk and her head's coming out.
Like a guillotine.
Like a guillotine, because that's what for some reason, our heads, that's exactly
what
they
were. That's how she was killed, I believe.
And I am the... Her head was cut off. I don't think we would have made
it. Yeah, but it was not a guillotine. That was a French Revolution.
Yeah,
now you're really picking this. I mean, what do you want?
Anyway,
so I'm there as the guy, the executioner, and I have a bat in my hand. And realistically, you're looking at it, you would think I'd swing the bat, we'd cut, and your head would fall off, right?
Yeah.
And that's right. For some reason, I lean over a chair and pull a little string, meaning we're looking for the blade to come down. So this looks really asinine. And then the next scene, your head is in a Hershey's chocolate box, which I thought looked good. That was one of our best shots ever.
That was good. The shot itself of, like, my head had been, you know, that was actually pretty, like, sophisticated for us.
Right, yeah. I mean, we were, like, 13 at the time.
We also had a problem where we never edited things out, so, like,
right, we didn't care. We never did post-production. We recorded everything in order. We never used to, like, jump around. Only once did we do that.
There was never a shooting schedule.
Right. It was just, everything has to be recorded in order, and it was all ad-libbed. We always ad-libbed everything we ever recorded. So, very like Curb Your Enthusiasm. Same idea.
I'm not going to say that we were the inspiration.
I think we were.
But
we were the inspiration for a lot of things, including the Montreal Screwjob. But,
yeah.
So anyway, then it ends. Mary Stewart's dead. And, of course, we had the shots from Wembley Stadium mixed in from SummerSlam 92. We had Chris Berman doing SportsCenter. I mean, these are all things we used to always include. But this was really the first high school we got a good grade. And it kicked off kind of our reputation as being the video guys.
And then we did a series of things after that that were the same video over and over, but with a different topic.
Yes.
But that's for another Molliseum Corner.
Yeah, so I hope you enjoyed our debut Molliseum.
Molliseum Montage.
Molliseum... Whatever.
We'll fix it in post.
I'll see a moment. Record in order, please.
I think, you know, guys, I think we delivered this week.
Yeah, I think so.
On this particular podcast.
I hope you'll have us back.
Me and Jeff never know how to end it. It's one of those things where we just falter for about 5 more minutes.
What you should do is stand, shake some keys.
Shake some keys.
That's how you know the end is coming.
But what I am going to end it with is... one thing I'll talk about in the next episode a little bit more in depth, but that I'll touch on now is that there's a lot of rap songs out there that I'm starting to realize that...
It's more Grandpa.
Well, that's exactly it. We ran out of time, and that's why we're going to have to move it over. That I love... You guys know... You know that I love rap. I love rap music in general. But in the past at least 2 years... As the twerk phenomenon has come to take over the world of rap, I've started to not like it as much. And I hear songs on the radio and I go, this is the most ridiculous song. Which then gets replaced like 2 weeks later by another, this is the most ridiculous song.
I could be like, this is as far as we can go.
This is it. Like, Soulja Boy Superman was like here. And then every year after that, we somehow go further down. And I don't know how deep we're going. Until the next week, and then I'm like, no, we've gone further. And I mean, there's a lot of good shit happening too. Like, I think Kendrick Lamar is like really solid and like came out of nowhere. Well, it didn't really come out of nowhere. He was K-Dot, and K-Dot was really good too. But like, you know, like just his presence as a popular rapper, you know, and like I hate a lot of what Kanye's done or what the person that Kanye has become, but I have to admit that even his wackadoo, you know, like persona that he's come up with Yeezus is pretty interesting compared to like a lot of the other popular rap songs. So every week now I'm going to play us out with what the fuck is this rap song? I don't know if that's what we're going to call it, but pretty much I'm going to play you a shitty rap song and maybe you guys can hit us up. And if you like the song, tell me why. That would be great.
Tell us why it exists.
Tell us why. Why does this exist?
Do you want to know what it's about, or do you already know what it's about?
No, I can tell. Most of it's about women shaking their asses is what pretty much every song is about.
Nobody likes that. Nobody wants to see that.
No, guys, I love women shaking their asses. Like, I will watch one of the videos at least once and go, that was, you know, we're really going pretty far with the ass shaking. You know, the fact that it's actually now a bona fide trend, but I just can't take the music. So we're going to play that out. So if you want, you can check us out on Twitter. This is the part we always mess up, trying to be like, oh yeah, check us out on Twitter. Never very smooth. You can at Richer N, like nitpick.
Like nine.
Like nine. Richer N, mailman. Or you could... find me at Joshua Richer or at place, is it place two?
Number two.
B Nation.
And Facebook is easy to play. Facebook.com/placetobenation.
I know a lot of people that aren't on the Facebook.
I'm just saying it's the easiest place to find.
Or just go to the website, placetobenation.com.
You should go a lot.
Yeah, you should go like
There's
every day.
There's a lot
day.
Of good stuff on there. A
lot of good stuff. This is
There's
on
nothing
there.
You like that isn't covered on there.
Exactly. I mean, if you're into everything, really.
Especially basketball, which we are locked in on right now with Andrew Reich. really delivering the goods, and the cowboy, Roger Moore. So.
See, you guys are just reminding me of all the other things that I want to talk about on the next next episode.
Well, maybe we'll be
back. Hey, spoiler alert! We might have these guys back, because mailmen are hard to come by these days, and I gotta hold on to them when I find them.
So. Just a mailman when you need it.
Yeah. So, I'm Josh Richer, and I want to thank Andy Flanagan and Justin Rosero for helping out this week. Tune in next time. Hopefully it won't be 3.5 weeks between. So, see you.
Holy shit.
Slow down. Grab the wall. Wiggle like you're trying to make your ass fall off. Hella thick, I want to smash them all now. Speed up. Gas pedal. Gas pedal. Gas pedal. Gas pedal, gas pedal.
Hey, you already know me, S-A-G-E.
Gas pedal, look, gas pedal.
Black money, let them hoes say amen. I'm just trying to make it clear, boy, Ray Bans. I'm a great man, whoa, same friend. I play a whole late night, DJ A-man. Room full of boppers, tell them give me topper. Beat it up, 911, hit the coppers. I'm S-A-G-E, who would like to know? B-5-4-5, large me in your throat. West side, baby, do what you do. And you got tail, what that shit do? It's pretty nigga mob, that's the way that I grow. I be stepping up in the club, they make a drop to my show. Her new man, cause I but I don't give a fork, silverware, nigga out if he acting a poor sport. Use a door, grab a girl, and get a yank, gang. Got a booty like coops, I'm tryna make it, wow. Slow down, grab the wall. Wiggle like you tryna make your ass fall off. Hella thick, I wanna smash them all now. Speed up, gas pedal, gas pedal, gas pedal, gas pedal, gas pedal now. Speed up, gas pedal, gas pedal, gas pedal.
She a trick for a dollar bill. And a boyfriend, a bitch, calling Tyler Perry. I'm in the black bat looking scary. On my way to the cake, no bakery. Oops, bakery. Never been no faking me. Lead her to the bathroom, she asking me where you taking me. Tell her slow down, baby. I'm too turned up, it's finna go down, baby. When you hit the stage, the people do a 180. When I hit the stage, man, the club wanna pay me. You niggas so fugazi. Got a white bitch with me, call that hoes look shady, Niggas too so crazy, got two hoes with me, make my old bitch hate me, All about my payment, you say we getting money, that's an understatement,
Slow down, grab the wall, wiggle like you trying to make your ass fall off. Hella thick, I want to smash them all now. Speed up, gas pedal, gas pedal, gas pedal, gas pedal, gas pedal now. Speed up, gas pedal, gas pedal, gas pedal. Lil' mama got sex appeal.
Sex appeal.
I'm missing. She wanna get a record deal.
Like
a deal. Shit though. It's finna get real. She got a booty so big, it's like a Ferris wheel.
Yo.
Lil' mama got sex appeal.
What's
make a sing. She wanna get a record deal.
You came here with your boyfriend.
It's finna get real. She got a booty so big,
never
it's like
him.
A Ferris wheel. Slow down. Grab the wall. Wiggle like you're trying to make your ass fall off. Hella thick, I wanna smash them all now. Speed up. Gas pedal, gas pedal, gas pedal, gas pedal, gas pedal now. Speed up. Gas pedal, gas pedal, gas pedal. Slow down.